So you have to remember here, the Upanishad is presenting the threefold meditation: Adhyatmika Brahma Upasanam, Adi Daivika Brahma Upasanam, and Akasha Brahma Upasanam. And we, in which we have finished very simple ones, but nice, beautiful ones. And here begins the, we have finished now what? Adi Adhyatmika Brahma Upasanani are over. Which means Brahman is the object of meditation. That Brahman is invoked upon the different powers obtaining in different organs of an individual. It, we have seen. The same way, with this understanding, you have to see the total also. There is no way of appreciating or understanding the manifestations of powers externally without having the appreciation of the powers obtaining in one's own organs. And how do you understand the power? What the power is existent for us only when it is transactable. In our understanding, it is transactable only when the power is functional. The power is functional and transactable only when there is manifestation of knowledge. The knowledge can be manifest only if it is already there. That knowledge which is there even before it becomes manifest, that knowledge is said to be anadihi. Adiyum antamum illane, beginningless, endless, changeless, one, non-dual, all-pervasive. Second, another what now? Independent, isn't it? And that knowledge alone, how do you understand, how is it manifest? As I am, I. Therefore, the pure knowledge is not I, the manifest knowledge, but the manifest knowledge is nothing but pure knowledge. Understand? Similarly, we say the all these powers are all manifest and transactable only when there is no manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, powers are to be understood as be in non-separate from the knowledge. Power, knowledge and power are inseparable. That is why we say vagarthau iva sampruktau. Now vak artaha iva sampruktau means inseparably united, like the word and its meaning. What are inseparably united? When you say a word mic and the object mic, can you separate the word and its meaning? Similar, in the same way, the pure knowledge and the manifest power, what now, are inseparable. Because manifest powers are nothing but unmanifest powers. Unmanifest powers are nothing but, when they are unmanifest, all the powers are to be taken as one power, because they are all undifferentiated. And you can't differentiate. When the powers are unmanifest, can you differentiate? Which power is the power of knowing? Power of activity? Power of desire? Iccha shakti, kriya shakti, jnana shakti, can differentiate? No. The differentiation is not possible when the powers are unmanifest. Therefore, we call it one power. And that one power, which alone manifests as the power of knowledge, power of activity, power of desiring, and that power is power of knowledge. Power and knowledge are inseparable, like fire and its power of burning, dahana shakti, like sun and its illumining power. Okay, therefore, every power is manifestation of knowledge. Every transactable, available, functional power is divine power, free from all punya papas, right and wrong. The powers are, what now, instruments themselves are always divine only. No gun really is speaking punya, has punyam or papam. No knife has punya papa. The karta and is the bhokta. Understand? Therefore, any power of powers are instruments of actions. Powers are manifest as the powers, instruments of knowledge. The instruments themselves are instruments because of the power obtaining in them. And those powers are all divine manifestations of only knowledge. Now we're going to see Atha Daivihi. Now begins the Adi Daivika Brahma Upasanam or Upasanani. Even though object of meditation is one, the alambanams are many. That's why in Indian temples, if we go so many temple complexities. No, alambanams are many. But the one who is invoked upon all of them is what? One and the same. Understand? Because why you have so many murtis there? Okay. Now, here I have to stop and tell you before I enter into the other set of upasanams. See, any karma should be followed by a palam, isn't it? Something called palashruti. Palashruti means what? Which talks about the benefit of practicing this meditation. What is the benefit I'm going to gain by practicing this adhyatmika brahma upasanam? See, whichever upasanam you are practicing, you will be blessed with that power. Okay? That's why, so kshema iti vachi. If we are not able to talk, take care of our tongue, any problems are there, if we keep on practicing this, then your word will become a very refined expression. You will be a person of refined expressions. Okay? One thing. And second thing, similarly, if you practice upon this Brahman, if you practice this meditation of Brahman as yoga kshema in pranapana, and you will be blessed with good energy, strength, and you'll be blessed with your capacity to acquire more and preserve more. Satyam, I'm not telling the truth. I'm not telling a lie. I'm speaking the truth only. Sorry. I am speaking the truth. I'm not speaking because Upanishad is telling this truth. Because it's understood, okay? Because who helps us here? Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, Bhasham, he helps us to understand the benefit. Okay, it's not directly presented here. Oh, Upasana Palam is not there. It may not practice. It's useless. Don't think. Shankara says, come on, don't conclude that way. There is definitely benefit. Whichever meditation you are practicing, you would be blessed with that power. See? You have to have faith in the words of Shastram, then practice it, you will get it. That's why you always say, yatha bhavaha, we have always, yat bhavaha tad bhavati. Whatever you think, you will be that. But it's all within. Any karma phalam is what? Limitation, not moksha. That you have to remember. Then, karma iti khasta yoho, if you practice that meditation, you will be blessed with more power of activities, like the power of the organ of actions, the form of hands, and the power of action, the form of power obtaining in the legs, etc. You'll get. And vimukti riti payo, if we have problems like constipation and diarrhea also, you practice, the problem will be settled. But with following other disciplines also. Then, like this, these are all meditations upon the individual powers as manifestations of the Brahman. Then, before entering here, I have to tell you, one more Adhyatmika Brahma Upasanam is mixed in the Adhidaiva Brahma Upasanam. Okay, Adhidaiva Brahma Upasanam, sorry. Adhyatmika Brahma Upasanam. One more upasanam is mixed with the Adhidaiva Brahma upasanam. What is it? Let us go to that line and come back to this. Okay, we can read from here. Atha Daivihi Triptiriti Vrishtau Balamiti Vidyuti Yasha Iti Pasushu Jyotiriti nakshatreshu. Okay, till here we have அதிதெய்வ பிரம்ம உபாசனம். The following line belong should be taken and connected to this Adhyatma Brahma Upasana. Okay. Prajatiramrutamananda ityupasthe. Prajatiramrutamananda ityupasthe. Because the one line alone should be connected, joined here. Okay, with the individual Upasana. Is it clear now? What is Upastham? Upastham is organ of procreation. May one not see anything as, you know, something inferior, ordinary, or something problematic, nothing. Everything is divine here. So, the organ of generation, or you can call it organ of procreation, or reproductory organ, is called Upastham. Therefore, Iti upasthe, may one meditate upon Brahman in upastham as prajatihi, amritam and anandaha. The three faculties, okay, look at this. Because prajatihi means, no, procreation or generation or creation, isn't it? Prajatihi. Now, when you see the power of procreating, generating, isn't it? Creating is where now? Are you the creator of your son and daughter? You are not. You're only instrumental, isn't it? Your body is only nimittam through which your son and daughter are born. But you are not creating it. So the power of procreation, obtaining in the reproductory organ, that power also is manifestation of what now? Knowledge only. The power also belongs to the knowledge only. Power of knowledge only is manifest. Isn't it? Therefore, prajatihi. So, whenever, therefore, that the power of procreation or creation, you know, obtaining in the organ of this reproduction, reproductive power, obtaining that organ also is manifestation of Brahman only. Manifest power, not resolved dormant power. Understand? And that power, whenever the power is manifest, actually, because of that only, then here's what now? It's called the Prajatihi is Amritam. Amritam literally means immortality. Why do we say this power of procreation obtaining in the reproductory organ, no, is also said to be Amritam? Because only through reproduction one can perpetuate one's own self. One can make oneself immortalized, isn't it? You can immortalize yourself through what now? Giving birth to, isn't it? Through your own son. When you, that's why, you know why people like grandchildren? Because it is you. You see yourself in your son. And you love grandchildren more because they are going to live long, because through them you are going to be living long. Through great-grandchildren, you'll be living much more longer. That is why, because somehow, physically, you are not going to be alive, but still, you definitely, you alone are living in the form of your son and your grandson, great-grandson. That is why people love to be immortal, because love for immortality is innate and natural. I want to live long. I want to live long happily, I want to be alive forever, is the natural, fundamental desire and urge. Understand? The urge is naturally there. That love for moksha alone is in the form of love for being immortal. And therefore, and when anything which helps you, makes you feel, you know, that you are immortalizing you, is also what now? Desirable for its anandaha, that is. Understand now? Therefore, is amritam. Prajatihi is amritam. So the reproduction contributes for the perpetuation and immortalization of this species. Imagine, we want to preserve all the species in the parks and the gardens and jungles. We don't want any natural species to disappear. You know why? Because every species has natural love for, you know, that being perpetuated. That is why, just as you want to live long or not, if you want to live long, every being in this world wants to be. No being wants to really die. That is why you have no right to destroy, the kill any life. Everything should be allowed to live its span of life as ordained by nature. And during that period, it will live, it will reproduce, perpetuate species, contribute for the perpetuation of its species, and it will disappear. And so therefore, this for the always this innate love for moksha alone is in the form of love for immortalizing oneself, and that love for immortalization, that immortalizing oneself is possible, perpetuating of one's own self is possible only through this, what now? Only through reproducing, isn't it? Reproduction. That is why always, that's why when you see your son, you are there in his form. And through grandchild, again you are there. You are going to be there through your great grandchildren. Then even after you keep some money for the endowment lectures, memorial endowment lectures, because you want to be alive in the form of what? Being talked about by other people. Now there's somebody, you know, some endowment. It's all, nobody does it anyway. If a person is, maybe people are doing it, I don't know. Somehow you want, people want my name on building. I want a name in my building. Why you want the name in your building? When people give donations, also they want the name to be put. Ubayam, one tublet Ubayam in the temple, people want the names. Okay, some Satya stores, given by Satya stores, one tublet to the temple, they want the name. Why? Because a proprietor becomes what now? Known. Being known means what now? Being immortal. That is why immortalization of one's own self, perpetuation of one's own self is possible only through this reproduction. For reproduction is also what now? It will be amritam. Amritam here means what? Not actual moksha. It is perpetuation. Okay? Or immortalization. It's called amritam. And then, there again what now? Always immortality is joy, happiness, desirable, isn't it? Freedom from limitations is desirable, therefore moksha is desirable. Amritam, the immortality is always joy only. Therefore, that's why in seeing yourself being immortalized through your son, in the form of your son and grandchildren, and there is joy. So inexplicable. Understand? Therefore, anandaha. Now, please understand, whenever you see your grandchildren, and if there's joy in you, even though they're very naughty, you cannot stand how naughty they are, and still you have some joy, you tolerate them, you feel, oh my God, when are they going, parents are going to come take care of them, I can't take look after them anymore. You find it, but still there's some joy. That joy which you experience when you look after grandchildren, or even sometimes some tiny puppies and dogs and cats people look after also, there's some joy in a way, because they see themselves, in those things. Only then you can see. And that joy is also what? Manifestation of what is the joy? That's the power of being, isn't it? Joyful, being pleased. A shakti. Because dead body is not, there's no joy on part of dead body, okay? Where is the joy expressed? Joy becomes expressed where? No, that joy which is really experienced is what now? Experienced joy, experienced pleasure also is a manifestation of power, subtle power of the knowledge only, Brahman. Not only that, the power of reproduction, the power of immortality, the power of being able to immortalize oneself through reproduction, that's also what? Man, when you see your son, it's also manifestation of the power of immortalizing oneself. That is possible because how? The power of power obtaining in one power alone. You have to understand how it is manifest. Different manifestations of one power of reproduction obtaining in the upastha indriyam. Understand? The power obtaining in reproductive organ alone is manifest as the power of perpetuation, the power of, you know, the power of expression, expression of joy, and that expressed joy, and all these are all what now, in fact, power obtaining in the reproductive organ, which is also manifestation of Brahman, the pure knowledge, Ishvara. Understand? You have to see everything as Ishvara here. Okay, with this, you have to include this also in that Adhyatmika Brahma Upasanam. Now we are entering into Adhidaiva Brahma Upasanam. Look at this. Triptiriti Vrishtau. Triptiriti Vrishtau. So, Triptihi Iti Vrishtau Brahma Upasita. May you meditate upon Brahman in the rains as Triptihi. What is the connection with Triptihi? Means satisfaction, contentment. Vrishtihi means rains. What is the connection between satisfaction or contentment and rains? How can I see Brahman in that form? See, it's all you have to think about. When do you have rains? Imagine. The rainfall implies so many functions happening. There won't be rainfall if there is no such a thing called evaporation. Rainfall is not possible if there is no such thing called condensation or formation of clouds. And there is no such thing called pouring of rains, isn't it? So rainfall involves so many functions. And those functions we don't see through physical eyes, but we are 100% sure how these functions are happening. So all these functions are happening means the function involves what? Rains. No, function means the function involves the order. That order is backed by knowledge, and that knowledge, what now? Therefore, that power, there is a power shakti. There is a shakti only. So manifest knowledge is the manifest power. And that power, because in the form of rains, when you see the rains pouring, you can understand is the manifestation of power, shakti. A given power, given phenomenon, given natural phenomenon alone is what? Any given natural phenomenon is what? Manifest power. Every given phenomenon is what? Manifest power. Because that power also does not exist outside of knowledge. Okay? That power is also manifestation of knowledge, which alone is manifest as knowledge. Do you get what I'm saying? Therefore, that rains, when there are rains, and what is there? Abundance of, no? Madam Ummari. We say the timely rains. If we have timely rains, then naturally enough rains, not more rains and floods, not drought. Imagine if there's drought, what happens? Everywhere, if there's suppose no agricultural production at all, what will happen? There will be poverty. How can we import all the wheat? How can we import all the things? How can we eat? What can we eat? Therefore, rains, timely, appropriate of quantity of rains, amount of rains. Very important for us to have abundance of agricultural products, which is food. Don't think I'm talking only about food all the time. I'm helpless. And the one without food, how can there be any satisfaction? I tell you. Food is so, you know, there cannot be enjoyment of anything in the world. There cannot be activity in the world. Enjoyment of fruits of actions also not possible. Actions are also not possible. If pranas are not there, you know, the satisfaction is impossible without the food. Tripti, contentment. We have enough. Everything we have. You can say when? When can you say you have enough? You know? No, I got a lot of food at home, I'm going. You don't want some, Niji. People, you say and go. Because you do have at home. Isn't it? So, you may think in my fridge, one small bread is sitting. That's not true. When you see your bread, you feel, oh my God, something I had, me make eat. You're hungry, you eat it, means that tripti. When you eat food, when you appease your hunger, every time you must be very hungry and sit for it. Like last night I came very hungry and I ate. When you eat food, after food, there is sense of satisfaction. Don't you have or not? After eating, all of us should have a sense of satisfaction. That sense of satisfaction experienced or every time you appease your hunger is what? Manifestation of power of Bhagavan. Power of Brahman. That power is also what? How can you have satisfaction? Because you have food. You have eaten food, you are satisfied. That is expressed. Manifestation. Isn't it? And how do you get food? Because you got the food. Where did you get the food? From Mother Earth has given. How did you get food? Because you got timely rains. Imagine, you have to really think. You don't think that way. Understand? Therefore, whenever when you see rains also, see the rains is what now? Whenever you see the tripti, oh my God, very good rains. We have good agriculture. Every agriculturalist will think that way. The farmer will think, you know, the farmers are so happy when it rains because their life is dependent on that. We don't really think because even though we get the food, imagine, the farmer must be happy. He must produce abundantly so he can export to us and we can eat also for us also. Indirectly, we are also what now? Directly, we may not pray for rains. Really, if you become a victim of, you know, poverty, now, even if you have money, nothing is available in the shop to buy. There's no agricultural production. What will we do? What shall we do? Therefore, whenever you see the rains, don't curse. Rain, rain, go away. We should not sing in India. Here you have to sing because the whole year it rains. How can children go and play? Therefore, they had said, come again some another day now. But in India, our children are taught different. When there's a drought, we're doing everywhere, we're doing performing homams and havans. And I taught Tamil songs. Malaye, malaye, va, va, mannai nanaka, va, va, aram thalaika, va, va, anbililaika, va. Like that, we also wrote, we teach children some nice simple rhymes we teach kindergarten babies. Really, I taught I wrote this, composed this, and I taught this, and all school kids, you know, kindergarten kids were taught. So the children sing, the karma works somewhere, it rains. There are also Vedic kakas were doing performing rituals, and everybody did, because we wanted rains, we're suffering. That's why we founded an organization called Siruthuli in Coimbatore people, because some fear was there. In fact, this drought is going to be, there's no Siruvani water in Coimbatore, my neighbor, the place will be zero. Without water, what can we do? Therefore, what I'm saying, the idea is here, if the food, we take food for granted. Please, whenever you see your food, don't waste food, because it is, what now? It is, you know, Bhagavan's Shakti. We are going to see later on. Bhagavan Shakti is in the form of food. Bhagavan Shakti is in the form of satisfaction. After you eat, that satisfaction which you have after eating, appeasing your hunger, that is possible, but not because of the food. That is, food is possible because of the rains, timely rains. Therefore we say what now? Whenever you see the rains, invoke Bhagavan in the form or as the tripti you are having after eating your food. Okay? Tripti vrishtihi. Vrishtihi means rains. Triptihi iti vrishtav brahma upasita. May you invoke Bhagavan in rains as satisfaction. Have you got it? That's just the words are there. You have to really connect things, otherwise you can't understand. Then, balamiti vidyuti, balamiti vidyuti, balam iti vidyuti. Vidyut, vidyut means what? No, electricity. You see, literally, electricity means vidyut. But here, you know, the power of lightning. Whenever there is a power of lightning, you see the thunder, isn't it? The thunder comes, then we have rains also. There is a strength, my God, water, iddi uinda. Whenever there is thunder, know how big, it's a big expression of strength. What is that strength, isn't it? Whenever you see lightning, you see how powerful it is. That power of lightning, the power behind the phenomenon called lightning, that's a what? Manifest power. Vidyuti balam iti. See the strength, see the thunder as the strength of the power of lightning, which is also manifestation of Brahman. Is it clear now? Then, yasha iti pasushu, yasha iti pasushu. Now, yashaha iti pasushu. Now, yashaha iti pasushu brahma upasita. May you invoke Paramatma. May you meditate upon Bhagavan or Brahma, Sagunam Brahma, in the cows as fame. You will wonder, my God, what is the connection between cows and fame? In our Vedic culture, cows means cattle wealth. I told you once long ago, before giving a girl in marriage, we'll ask how many cows the person has also. Well, India, cows are also wealth for us. You know, we also count because cattle wealth. They have so many acres of land and so many houses and then so many cows they have. We have to give account. You know, when the boy come for a girl, when married to get her, take her marriage as the daughter of the family, the parents of the girl will like to know what all this fellow has. We can't send out. They'll also give Sridhanam, but still they will give only if this fellow also has. No? Why should they give her daughter in marriage to somebody who's pauper? Therefore, they'll count. If somebody has, I have 100 cows, 10 cows, 15 cows. No, what do you think? I have 10 cows, no? Milking cows. Let's ask, how many cows are now pregnant also? How many are now milk can be milked? Really? We count all the, because, I don't know whether you know all these things. I'm a village, I know all these things. Because in those days, as I was growing up, this has gone. Because I used to hear my grandmother telling all those things. That's why I know all those things. They all must be knowing. No? So here, what I'm saying, pashuhu means cow, animal. Pashu here means a cow. Cattle wealth in general. Pashushu, pashu, pashavaha means it stands for what? No, cattle wealth. Wealth in the form of cattle represents the wealth in general. Okay, any wealth. Therefore, the more wealth a person has, when you see a wealthy person who owns many cows, suppose the person has many dairy farms. Really? Now, in this country, suppose the person has many dairy, runs a big industries. No? The milk products, no? All milk products, cheese comes, no? All this cream comes, milk all fat-free, fat-full, half-fat, all the milk is coming. Where is it coming from? the person who owns this dairy farm, he is a really rich person, isn't he? If he supplies milk to all over, whole of Europe, EU countries, he was very rich. One supplier, one distributor of milk, rich person, he must be owning a big, at least thousands and thousands and thousands of cows. So, that's also wealth. Possessing cows is possession of wealth, isn't it? Therefore, Pashuhu means what? Pashavaha means cows. Whenever you see the cows grazing, don't take them for granted. See Bhagavan. How should we see Bhagavan in the form of cows? The cows is a cattle wealth. And any wealth possessed by a person, the wealthier the person, more he can contribute. How can a poor person contribute? The more he contributes, more he will be famous. Who are the famous people? All donors are welcomed first. Donors are received first everywhere. Because they are donors, you see. Donor means first row admission seat, you will be given the first row. No donation means free person means you will be you get to sit at the back. Why? Because not that you are not important. They know the people organize for organization, everyone is important. But they can't help. They need donations. Who can give donations? Only people who have can give donations. Therefore, when they come, they are more famous. No? You go to the outside, you receive the person. When the non-donor comes, nobody receives. You have to find a seat and go and sit. It's all fame, isn't it? Therefore, wealthier you are, you're supposed to be contributor also, okay? What is your simply... See, in Vedic culture, wealthy person means you're definitely... What will you do with the wealth? Pamji always says, how you can't sleep in 10 rooms. Even if you have 10 rooms, you have to sleep only one room. Even if you have one big room also, you have to sleep only one corner. You can't do anything with those things, isn't it? That's why wealthier, less wealth you have, the more you can contribute. The more you contribute, then more famous you become. That fame, when you enjoy, whoever is enjoying fame, and see that fame is manifestation of Bhagavat Shakti, Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Somebody is able to sing, he is famous. Somebody able to dance, he is famous. Somebody able to paint, he is famous. Somebody able to draw, he is famous. That's why any Shakti is what I mean. Any fame, whoever is famous for anything, that is the manifestation of Bhagavat Shakti, then once you see anything as a manifestation of Bhagavat Shakti, the power of Bhagavan, then you can see it as what? Glory of Bhagavan. Once you see it as glory of Bhagavan, then you can manage your jealousy also. Yes, I don't have. That jealousy also you can manage, isn't it? Because otherwise jealousy will eat you up. Therefore, how to neutralize? You can't undo your jealousy. Only in jnanam it will go by itself. Until it is there, how do you have to manage the disease until it is removed for good? And the removal of disease takes very long in the form of you need this powerful medicine called Brahmastram. The weapon of Brahmastram is what? Knowledge, isn't it? Jnanam is the only powerful medicine, and for which Bhagavan is the only Dakshinamurti. Bhagavan, the Adi Guru, is the most famous doctor, and he has to bless you with the medicine of Jnanam. Then you will cure the disease of ignorance. Then you are free from all these illness symptoms of disease. But till then, the symptoms are there. You have to manage the symptoms. How can you manage symptoms of this illness of ignorance, jealousy, hatred, anger? All these things will be there in the form of what now? It's all symptoms of disease only. Those symptoms are there. If you don't manage them, they will really cause a lot of damage. Therefore, you have to manage them. The managing is possible only if you see everything as Bhagavad Vibhuti. You can see everything as glories of Bhagavan only if you see it as a manifestation of power of Bhagavan. Therefore, what is fame? Fame is all. Whenever you see anybody being famous, that fame is the manifestation of power of Bhagavan. Because the fame is because of his contribution to society back, and contribution is because he is able to acquire more, and he has already acquired more, and his acquiring is possible because of what? Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? Therefore, and everything is what? A manifestation of power only. Therefore, whenever, and so now, therefore, may one meditate upon Brahman in the cows, in any, okay, within brackets, wealth, or the wealthy, okay, as what now? Fame. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's also what now? It's also all Adhideva Brahma Upasanam. Now, when you're seeing this all, where are you placing your mind now? Minds? Bhagavan only. You're thinking about it. Then jyotiriti nakshatreshu, jyotiriti nakshatreshu, jyotihi iti nakshatreshu. See, nakshatra means star, nakshatrani stars. So jyotihi iti nakshatreshu brahma upasita. May one, or may you meditate upon Brahman in the stars as the very luminosity. Jyotihi means what? The light, the luminosity. We have to understand the planets are also luminaries. Stars are also luminaries, but which are self-luminous, which are, you know, in fact, the planets are luminous because they have borrowed light. In fact, the stars alone have the original light. Know that very well. Anyway, so the light in the stars, the luminosity is what? Now, original luminosity is the original belonging to the stars. They don't borrow light. Stars do not borrow light. Whereas other planets which are luminaries, you know, so they're seen as luminaries, but they all have borrowed light. Like a moon has a borrowed light. Sun has its original light, isn't it? So, nakshatreshu. When you see all these stars, when your science is so advanced, we understand this much now. Oh, sorry, the luminosity belongs to actually the stars alone, not to the planets. Which means that luminosity in obtaining in all the stars, okay, what now? All, in fact, it's nothing but manifestation of power. That given phenomenon also is manifest power of Brahman. Parashaktidan attana shakti aham vilangukirathu. Is it called now? Therefore, jyotihi iti nakshatreshu. Therefore, we are invoking Bhagavan in the stars as the luminosity of the stars. It is also Adhideva Brahma Upasanam. And next, with this, Adhideva Brahma Upasanam also is over. Very quick, isn't it? Over. Now, if we practice, what is the benefit? The two-fold Upasanams are over. Adhyatma Brahma Upasanam is over. Adhideva Brahma Upasanam also is over now. Okay? What's the benefit? Same thing you have to say. If you practice, whenever it rains, don't need to rain also. It doesn't need to rain also. Even if the rains are not there, you can visualize the rains and you can see how the rains contribute for Triptihi, and that Triptihi and the rains, all of them are manifestations of power of Brahman. If you can see, then such a person will be blessed with the Tripti. Be blessed with satisfaction. There won't be discontentment in your life. Then Balamiti Vidya, you practice that. See, take one given phenomenon and invoke Bhagavan as the what now, the manifest power in that phenomenon. That power, phenomenon as the manifest power of Bhagavan, then you would be blessed with that. So whatever you meditate on, you will be blessed with that. Yet, okay, yad bhavah tad bhavati. Whatever is a thought, and you will be blessed with that. This is the secret behind all this other disciplines such as pranic healing, you know, these Reiki, they don't know all these things, okay? But they may, whether they understand or not, the idea is, see, when they do some any pranic healing they do, when they do any my Reiki healing or distance healing, all, it's not only discipline. A discipline is effective, but it has its limitation. There's a no. If a purpose, if some discipline is not effective, and don't say it is useless. Every discipline is useful, it is effective, but still it has its limitation. Whether Ayurveda, allopathy, or any discipline, is some way or other it is effective, but has limitation. Like suppose people say, okay, then they you have your knee pain, okay, only think of your knee, they do this. And when they do this, what do they do? People, the person who does it, they think only of your knee, or only of your shoulder. Wherever you have pain, they think only of that, and then they do this. It's just the focusing attention, isn't it? So that some helps. So healing, people go all the way to India to draw energy from India and come back, and they want to be healers also here. There's so many healers here. But they don't understand head and tail of what is happening. But I think one person is a big source of energy, and he can really, they can go and take all energy, come back, they can heal the whole world, they think. But the intention is good, motive is good, they want to heal others, they want to be the healers. They should also know they need healing themselves. Okay, this way better be a healer and take care of your be getting healed also. That's why only Shastram is the only thing. Anyway, so what I want to say, these are all these some natural phenomena are presented by the Upanishad, and the Upanishad is telling us to just to see, just to focus attention and think about that power and see what it is, how it is so important for the well-being of everything, isn't it? Because the function of everything in this creation, in this universe, is so important for the regularity of the order, you know, involved in everything. Therefore, that function itself is what? The manifest power. Okay? We do not see the function through physical eyes, but there is a function. And that is manifestation of the power only, is behind the phenomena. Therefore, we said that power is manifestation of Brahman. So with this, Adidaiva Brahma Upasam also is over. As I told you, the last one we have to include in that Adhyata Brahma Upasanam, the other line, Prajatramritam Ananda Ittipaste. Then we are going to Akasha Brahma Upasanam. With this, Upasanam will be over, and after that, I'll send you home soon. Don't worry. Don't get restless. If you want, you can have one more cup of tea. Sarva mit, but quietly get up and go and have and come, since it. Sarva mitya kashe. Sarva mitya kashe. Now, akasha upasanam. Sarvam iti akashe. Sarvam iti. Okay, may one meditate upon Brahman. But now, may one invoke Brahman, Ishvara, in the space as all. As everything. See, it's called Akasha Upasanam. Akasha is a symbol, okay, and object of meditation is Brahman. Because there's a similarity between Brahman and Akashaha. Now, what are the similarities? If you see, Brahman is one, space is one. Is it? Space is one, the knowledge is one. Not only one, secondless, non-dual. The pure knowledge, pure consciousness is one, secondless, non-dual. And space also is what? One. Only similar, we are only seeing similarities. Don't say space itself is Brahman, okay? Space is Brahman as a product of Brahman, but space and Brahman have some similarities. So we are using space as the alambanam here, object of the symbol of meditation here. And space is, in fact, space is all pervasive, and then reality also is all pervasive. And space is one indivisible, partless, isn't it? Partless. So also Brahman is indivisible, partless. And space is non-pollutable. Brahman is non-pollutable. Nothing can pollute space. And space, as the cause of the other objects, a relative cause of everything else in the universe, space is independent of the other elements and the elementals. Similarly, Brahman is what now? Brahman is independent of everything else. And even though in this space everything exists, space is not touched, tainted, I told, non-pollutable, I said. Not touched, not tainted, non-pollutable, I said already, I so told this. So like this, we have certain similarities between Brahman and this space. Therefore, we take here Akashaha as the Alambanam. Isn't it Pratika Alambanam? Because space itself is very, very subtly incomprehensible. Can we say that space is imperceptible, you know that? The totality of space is not known. We only see the space. But really speaking, space as a whole is imperceptible. And subtlest power, subtle power. Space also is what? No, subtle power. So, and here we say, therefore, space being the foremost of the creations, space being the subtlest of the elements, and we say from the space alone came what? Space from Akasha, Vayuhu, Vayor, Agnihi, Agner, Apaha, Adhyav, Prithivi, Prithivya, Oshadeha, Oshadibhyaha, Annam, Annat, Purushaha, and all the beings here, like this, all the living, non-living things that are here are all what now modified form of elements, and all the elements originally are from where? Space only. And of course, there is something subtler than space. What now? That is above, what is above space is actually Shaktihi, in unmanifest power. Space itself is a manifestation of power only. But still, you have to see that space alone is what now? Space alone. That's why everything is in the space. No living being or non-living thing has its existence outside of space. Isn't it? Therefore, space is all accommodative. Avakasha pradata akashaha. Shankara says, avakasha pradata akashaha. The all accommodative is the space. And that which is accommodative of space is consciousness, Brahman. Isn't it? Space, everything is what now? Everything exists. Everything in this universe is subject to spatial limitation. There is nothing which is free from spatial limitation because everything exists in the space only. Whether you take off, you land. Where is it happening? Everything is happening in space. Therefore, all the objects have their existence only in space. Therefore, space is all accommodative, and space being the cause of, relative cause of everything that is here, everything is space. Okay? Like water is the cause of the wave, water is the cause of the ocean means you can say what? Ocean is water. Wave is water. Similarly, everything that is here is what? Space. Because you can understand here, we are going to see that everything is here, space only. Therefore, all accommodative, sarva avakasha pradatuhu, akashasyapi avakasha pradata, atma brahma. Isn't it? So, Brahman, the reality, is the accommodate, is free being spatially limitless. What now? Being pure knowledge, being spatially limitless, is not being accommodative of the very space. Because there is no space in deep sleep state for you. Is there space in deep sleep state? Why? Why is no space? There is not really space, there is no time, there is no space. Poor time and poor space, both of them will be resolved in deep sleep state. Why? They have their existence only when they have objectifiability, knowability, isn't it? They have the status of being knowable and objectifiable only when there is perception. The perception is possible only when the powers are functional. Powers can be functional only when they are manifest. They can be manifest only when there is manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge, therefore, all of them are what? No. Space itself being an object of knowledge does not have an existence outside of knowledge Brahman. Is it clear now? Therefore, when you see the space, don't see space as just a space, isn't it? May you invoke Paramatma Bhagavan in the space as everything. The space which is there as everything, accommodative of everything, is another than manifestation of Paramatma Shakti only. The space itself is manifest power of Brahman, and which is all accommodative of, which is the, what now, accommodative of everything else. Okay, sarvamitya kashe, okay, may one invoke Brahman in the space as everything. Okay. Now, he is going to say separately, now everything, many small upasanas are given here. Tat pratishthetyupasita. Now, you have to remember, we have moved on to the third set of meditation called Akasha Brahma Upasanam. Now, you are meditating upon Akasha only, isn't it? You are meditating on Brahman in the form of...
Same as Adi
Bhautika. No. This is Adi Bhautika. Adhyatma Brahma Upasanam is over. Adhideva Brahma Upasanam is over. Now just Akasha. Just the space alone. Adi Bhautika. Just the space alone. Akasha Upasanam. We are using only Akasha as the Alambanam for Brahman. So object of meditation is Brahman. And Alambanam here is space. And how, what you see in a space, isn't it? You see. See, tat pratishthetyupasita. See, tat Brahma, okay, tat, okay, akashaha. May one meditate upon Brahman as pratishtha in the akasha. Okay? See, pratishtha means support. Pratishtha means support. You see, for everything in this universe, as the cause, Akasha is the support, isn't it? Just as water is the support for the ocean, gold is the support for the ornaments. Similarly, Akasha happens to be the subtlest of the elements, foremost of the elements, cause of other elements also, as a relative cause of all the elements and the elementals. Akasha is the support of everything here, all the elementals. Okay? And what is the support of the Akasha? Brahma. Isn't it? Because Akasha is the subtlest matter. And much subtler, this power, manifest power is subtle, means what to talk, how subtle the power unmanifest would be. In this way, incomprehensibly subtle. Unmanifest power is incomprehensibly subtle. You can understand how subtle it is only, but no, when you see the manifest power, you understand the powers manifest are nothing but original powers of pure consciousness, knowledge. Then, suppose if you meditate upon this Brahman, now, as in the form of Akasha, as Pratishtha, support of everything, then what is the benefit? Pratishthavan bhavati. Just seeing space as a support of everything. How space is support of everything? Therefore, Brahman is support of everything. తత్ ప్రతిష్ట ఇతి తత్ బ్రహ్మ ప్రతిష్ట ఇతి ఆకాశే ఉపాసీత. మే వన్ మెడిటేట్ అపాన్ బ్రహ్మన్ అ సపోర్ట్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ స్పేస్ ఆర్ ఇన్ స్పేస్. నో అచ్చప్పర్స్ వన్ హు సపోజ్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఇస్ మెడిటేషన్ జస్ట్ సీయింగ్ ఆకాశ ఇస్ ద ప్రతిష్ట ఆఫ్ ఆర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ దర్ బై సీయింగ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఆస్ ది ప్రతిష్ట సపోర్ట్ ఫార్ ది ఆకాశ ఆల్సో యు వాట్ నో ద సచ్ పర్సన్ బికమ్స్ ప్రతిష్టావాన్ భవతి. ప్రతిష్టావాన్ మీన్స్ హీ బికమ్స్ ది సపోర్ట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ విచ్ మీన్స్ దిస్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్ విల్ హెల్ప్ హిమ్ ఫార్ మెంటల్ రిఫైన్మెంట్ దట్ విచ్ బ్లెస్ హిమ్ విత్ ఇనఫ్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ హీల్ బి వాట్ నో he'll be free from insecurity, he'll be self secure. Maybe as a meditation, as a result of meditation, it'll be relatively secure. Okay, yet remember one more thing. Tanmaha ityupasita, tanmaha ityupasita tad. Now mahaha iti upasita. Mahaha means the subtlest matter. Okay. In fact, jnana shakti, subtlest matter here, the buddhi shakti. May one meditate upon Brahman, maha, great power. Maha means here, the intelligence. In this space, may one meditate upon Brahman, invoke Brahman in space as the subtlest power of Mahat means Buddhi Shakti, Buddhi, cosmic intelligence. Lakshya person, Mahan Bhavati, Mahan Bhavati. Actually, then maha ityupasita, now as a great also, this no maha, mahan, mahat means, mahat means great. May one meditate upon Brahman, the akasha is what a really great. Why, how it is great? Because akasha is spatially limitless. No, similarly Brahman also is what? Spatially limitless. In fact, at least akasha has other limitations, object limitation and time limitation, whereas Brahman is free from all limitations. But may one meditate upon Brahman as great, isn't it? Greatness in this akasha, how great is our space is. As the cause of everything, akasha is great. Being limitless, in terms of limitlessness, akasha is great. In accommodating everything else, akasha is great. May one meditate upon greatness, meditate upon Brahman as greatness with reference to akasha. Then such a person becomes what? Mahan Bhavati. You have to focus your attention on that. Then really such visualization really helps. In due course of time will contribute for mental refinement, which will help him with what now? Refined intellect. It's called Mahan means what now? He becomes great. Okay? He becomes great. The same thing we are going to see later on. Tanmana ityupasita. Tanmana ityupasita. If you invoke Brahman in akasha as greatness, in the form of greatness, and you, what now, then you become great. If you invoke Brahman as the manaha, tanmana ityupasita, tanmana ityupasita, then if you see manaha ityupasita, now the mind is what now? Again, power of knowing here, manaha. The intellectual power, the power of intellect here, the total, you can say cosmic intellectual power. Is it? May one meditate upon Brahman as the cosmic intellectual power. Why? How do we say how do we say? Because any manifest power is manifestation of what now? Elements, you know very well. Now, sattvic aspect of elements alone become the powers, no? Subtle powers. Do you remember all those things? Sattvic aspect of elements alone become the subtle powers. So, sattvic and the aspect of elements means what? Subtle elements. Subtle elements, all of them have, gross elements have come into existence from subtle elements. Subtle elements have come into existence from where? Originally, from Akasha only. Isn't it? Therefore, that power also, the cosmic intelligence also is manifestation of this Brahman. Not only individual power of knowing, the total power of knowledge also is manifestation of Brahman only. So may one meditate upon Brahman as Akasha, okay, in Akasha as the cosmic intelligence. How can you see cosmic, how can you connect this cosmic intelligence and cosmic, the power of intellection as Akasha? The power of intellection, isn't it? The power of intellection actually has to manifest through what? Through an organ, isn't it? That organ is what actually? What is mind? Manifest, modified form of subtle elements. Remember that. Sattvic aspect of elements. And sattvic as elements means what? All sattvic elements originally have come from where? Akasha. Therefore, may one invoke Paramatma in the space as the cosmic intelligence. You have to visualize. Don't worry, any doubts you have can come back and ask me next class. And then Wednesday I'll clarify all the doubts. Or I can come back and talk to you also again if you have doubts. Therefore, Tan Manaha Iti Upasita. May one meditate upon Brahman as the Manaha in the Akasha. Hacha person, Manavan Bhavati, Manavan Bhavati. See, each Akasha Upasanam is immediately what now? Present with its palam also. Manavan Bhavati means he become really highly intelligent person. If you have any power of intellection short, and I want to have good intelligent power of intellection, I want Medha Devi, I want Medha Shakti, then may one meditate upon this. Practice this meditation. See, you should know a lot of basic things, only then you can understand how it is, what I'm saying here. Okay. Tannama ityupasita, tannama ityupasita. For all these things, one thing is very basic. Now, what is that? Space is the subtlest of the elements. Therefore, space is the what now? Manifestation of the what now? Subtlest power of manifestation of much subtler power, isn't it? Space being the subtlest of the elements, space is the relatively ultimate cause of everything. Space itself is manifestation of the Brahma Shakti only. Therefore, when you see the space, you are seeing what? Power of Brahman only. For now he says, therefore, tat namaha iti upasita. The namaha means the principle of bowing. The principle of namaskara is namaha. Namaha means you bow down. Isn't it? The bowing down itself is what? An action which is an expression of one's humility, expression of one's commitment to live a life of dharma, one's commitment to, one's expression of one's surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of law and order, which means commitment to live a life of dharma. Isn't it? That's what real saranagati. I told you already. Namaha means when you do a namaskaram like this, is what is expression of this. It's a concept, isn't it? It's a principle of doing namaskaram. Namaha, tattum. Namaskara Tattvam. What is it now? This itself implies one being. This Namaskaraha implies many things. Implies one's commitment to live a life of Dharma. I bow down, I bow to Dharma. And for which, why? Because I bow to Dharma means I commit myself to live a life of Dharma. Means I manage my thoughts. I see my actions do not transgress values. Which means I have mastery over my thoughts. Which means I use my will. My will itself is surrendered to Bhagavan. So surrendering of one's will to Bhagavan is implied by this act of, I bow to Bhagavan. When you bow to each other also, you invoke Bhagavan obtaining in other person as somebody comes, I'm coming, hello. Oh, I see, I'm seeing you, hello. Means what? I who sees is Bhagavan manifest knowledge. The one who comes in saying, I am coming here is also what now? That I am in other person, which expression of other person. I am here. I am coming, other person comes in. I am here, other person is saying that I am is what now? Expressed by one person, receiver, the one person who enters, that I am in both the people are nothing but manifestation of knowledge only. Therefore, that is why they greet each other with Namaskara. I bow to Bhagavan, manifest in your form, in I in you, and you bow to the Bhagavan in who is manifest, the form of I in me. Isn't it? The I in everyone is what? Manifest knowledge. The manifest knowledge is what? Swarupa Jnanam only, Bhagavan only. Therefore, that Namaha Tattvam also is what now? Manifestation of Shakti. Okay, that the principle of bowing down itself is manifestation of power. Manifestation of the power in the form of space, and that power itself is, space itself is manifestation of power of knowledge. Do you get what I'm saying?
So this is still carrying on.
What?
Akasha.
Yeah, it's going to be over now. Yeah. And such a person is going to be over. Are you not happy with Akasha?
It just sounds like a different subject.
No.
Because I can't see.
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's why I told you all the Akasha Upasanani. See, Akasha is the Alambanam for Brahman. And in that Akasha, you see all these things as manifestations of power, which is now in the form of space. Okay, Tannama Ittupa. Only three Upasanas I told you in the very beginning. I told you three sets of Upasanani. Adidaiva Adhyatma Upabrahma Upasanam, Adidaiva Brahma Upasanam, Akasha Brahma Upasanam. All Akasha Upasanani only. There is no mention of the word Akasha. Only once it is said here. And that's why we have to supply, imply, we have to understand. Because if we read English translations, you will be confusing also. So, Tan Namaha Iti Upasita. See, may you see that Namaskaraha, the principle of bowing, also as what? Because nothing is happening outside of space. Isn't it? Really speaking. And that space itself is manifestation of the power only. May you see that as Brahman, manifestation of Brahman. Then, Namyante esmai kamaha. So here, what the benefit of this? See, seeing Brahman or invoking Brahman in space as the principle of Namaskaraha will bless one with the benefit of being bowed to by all the desires. Namyante asmai kamaha. All the desires will come. If a person practices this meditation, all the desires will come and bow to this person. He'll be bowed to by desires. Means what? No, desires will bow to him. Desires will bow to him. But what does it mean? Disease will bow to him means he has complete mastery over desires. He'll be free from the hold of desires, which is freedom from emotional dependence, which is moksha. Understand? Which means not immediately, overnight. This upasanam will result in what now? Managing one's desires. Thereby, one day he'll be blessed with the knowledge. Antakarna Shuddhi will happen. Thereby, through mental refinement, he'll be blessed with the knowledge wherein all the desires will bow to him. Which means, see, the namaha, the attitude of bowing, the attitude, isn't it? You're going to say it, right? I bow to something means, not an easy job. People are so arrogant, highly egoistic. Bowing is not an easy thing. I don't know this culture, because it's here in this, here, it's very difficult. In India, we make the children fall at the feet of everybody, even from right from young age, fall at the feet of parents, grandparents, Bhagavan, and elders, sadhus, and everybody, when see each other, immediately you have to say namaste, 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 you have to see each other, because they are trained, because you don't have that attitude. Culture is not, no? We have to really fake it and make it, no, we have to really make it. It doesn't come naturally. Really make it, isn't it? Which means that bowing to something, Ishvara, means not physical. The physical expression of bowing is expression of one's commitment to live a life of dharma, which is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. It's over, it's going to be over, don't worry. We finished. Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan, which is namaha. Isn't it? That itself is possible only, that karma itself is possible only if you understand nothing is outside of akasha, the space. Therefore we say here, namyante asmai kamaha. You should be able to see that how the principle of bowing is also what? Surrendering one's will to dharma, which is because of knowledge of dharma, right and wrong. And that willpower also is what? Manifestation of power. And which is all these powers are manifestations of subtlest power called the subtlest manifest power called Akasha. That's why Akasha is, first itself I told you very well, clearly, Akasha is Pratishtha, support. You see, Akasha is the ultimately relative cause. Absolutely absolute cause is what? Brahman. Relatively Akasha is the cause, isn't it? Therefore, such a person, namyante asmai kamaha, such a person, will be able to manage the desires. Therefore he says, kamaha asmai namyante, he is bowed to by all the desires. All the desires come and bow to him. Tad brahmetyupasita, tad brahmetyupasita. Now so many akash upasanani. Let's say quickly we are going. May one meditate upon the, no, Brahman asked what now? Brahman, that Brahma iti upa, may one invoke Paramatma in Akasha. As Akasha itself is what now? Brahma. Akasha is Brahman. Akasha is itself is manifest power of Brahman. Akasha is Brahman. May one see Akasha as Brahman. Brahman is one, Akasha is one. Brahman is indivisible, Akasha is indivisible. Brahman is partless, formless, Akasha is formless. May one see the free Brahman in the form of, invoke Paramatma in the form of very Akasha, such a person, Brahmavan Bhavati. And here Brahma also means what now? If one sees how infinite Brahma Akasha is, spatially it is limitless. And is meditating upon Akasha, meditating upon Brahman in Akasha as what now is gunam of limitlessness. How spatially Brahman, Akasha is spatially limitless, Brahman is spatially limitless, isn't it? Therefore, Brahma here means what now? Infinite. May one meditate upon limitlessness of Akasha in terms of space. Is it? Then you see how spatially Akasha is spatially limitless, so Brahman is spatially limitless. When meditates, such a person, Brahmavan Bhavati, he also becomes he becomes limitless. He also becomes infinite. Which means not, I'll explain again. Brahmavan Bhavati, he also becomes infinite. He becomes limitless person. Tad Brahmanah Parimara Ittupasita. Tad Brahmanah Parimara Ittupasita. See, Tad Brahmanah Parimara Ittupasita. Beautiful one, last one, I'll stop here. Tad Brahmanah Parimara Ittupasita. Tad Brahmanah Parimara Ittupasita. See, may one meditate upon Akasha as the destructive power of Brahman. Brahmanaha Parimaraha. Parimaraha means what now? The destructive power. Parimaraha iti upasita. How, my God, how can I see Akasha as the destructive power of Brahman? At the time of pralayam, okay, you see, what happens, the order, the resolution happens in keeping with the creation, order of the creation. So all the namarupas will resolve in what now? The earth. All the names and forms will resolve in earth. Earth will resolve in water. Water will resolve in fire. Fire will resolve in air. Air will resolve in space. Space will resolve in Brahman as unmanifest power. Is it now? Therefore, because space being the origin, subtlest of the manifestations, space being the original manifest power, therefore, every original manifest power, okay, and all, everything else being what now? Actually, space being the cause of everything else, even the space is a relative cause, but still everything else is what now? Effects of space only. Everything else can be reduced to space. Therefore, we say what now? Destruction, there's no destruction. Everything will be, is actually ultimately resolved into space, and that space which is the, which is in which everything resolves itself is manifest power of Brahman. Okay, because the space itself is manifestation of the unmanifest power of Brahman. I got it? Hope you understand it. Therefore, tad brahmanah parimara ittupasita. Now, pariyenam riyante dvishantas sapatnah. Te dvishantas sapatnah. Here begins the benefit of meditation. With this, Akashupasanam is over. Okay, with the next line also. Pariye e priya bratruvyah. With this, over the Akashupasanam, I'll stop with this. Let me make this clear one thing. What is the benefit of meditating upon Brahman as the what is the benefit of meditating upon Brahman in Akasha as the destructive power of Brahman? Okay, what is Akasha? Akasha is the destructive power of Brahman. How do you say here? No, it does not destroy. Akasha does not destroy. Everything, everything is dissolved, they all resolve in space. And what is the space? Space itself is what? Manifest power of Brahman. When space also resolves, it is what? It is one with Brahman. When space resolves, do you see the difference there? Can you separate pure knowledge and power in deep sleep state? Are you in deep sleep state? You are, your powers are, but is there difference at you and your powers? There's no difference in deep sleep state. You are, your powers, all of them are as good as non-existent, one, undifferentiated, indivisible, isn't it? Unmanifest power. But you can't use any word that condition. You can't use power, you can't use consciousness, you can't use knowledge. You can just say reality. Even reality is what? No, you can't take use then. There's a no word can be used to imply, and is it now, to indicate what the reality is. Everything is resolved and unmanifest. Therefore, when you see a space, understand everything in this universe is in keeping with the order of creation. The dissolution also in the same way, reverse order. Everything resolves and resolves and resolves and resolves. Everything ultimately resolved into space, and the space itself will resolve in Brahman as one unmanifest power of Brahman. There is no Brahma Shakti Veda. You call there's no differentiation of pure knowledge and the power of knowledge. Can you differentiate? Undifferentiated. If a person made wills upon this fact of, okay, that space being the manifest, the space being the destructive power of Brahman, how space is the destructive power of Brahman, okay, which is a source of resolution of everything else. If you meditate upon this, in long run, what happens? You understand that everything will be resolved into one. There won't be difference, no? Mine, I, yours, his and her, all the differences will be resolved if you understand everything is ultimately resolved in space. And space will be resolved into what? No. All of us are space only. And space itself is what? Unmanifest power of Brahman. What is Brahman? Pure knowledge. So all the differences will resolve. Once the differences resolve, then there is the enemies. We have two, okay? See, Mriyan, here, the enemies means, actually enemies, no? You either I have enemies or I am an enemy for other person. So here, the enemies die. My enemies die, okay, I also what now? Enemies die means what now? I am an enemy of other person, so I die. My enemies die means what? Enemies do not die. Here the enmity will be resolved. What's the benefit? Enmity will be resolved. What is enmity? Isn't it? There are people whom I hate, mean what now? Hatred will be resolved. Then there won't be people who are hated by me, because the hatred will be resolved. Without the hatred, there can't be people who are hated, isn't it? There's no hating person, hateful person. There won't be hated people also. The hating people also will not be there. Hated people also will not be there, because very hatred will resolve. If the hatred resolves, hated will also be not there. There is a resolution of hatred, hatred is, in fact, the death of haters and the hated. The hater is an enemy of the hated. Hated are the enemies of the haters. So all the enemies will die means, what does it mean? There'll be death of haters and hated, because the enmity, the hatred itself will resolve. When will hatred resolve? Only when you have the wide vision that all that is here is Akasha. And Akasha is none other than manifest power of Brahman, the knowledge. Okay, so parimriyante means what? Let me stop here a bit. I'm going to definitely stop here. Listen to me. Pari yena mriyante dushantaha sapatnaha. Please understand. Dushantaha sapatnaha means hating enemies. Okay, hating enemies. The hating enemies, mriyante, they, parimriyante, pari should go with mriyante. Parimriyante, they die. Okay, who, then, ye apriyaha bhratruvyaha, hated enemies also die. Parimriyante, have to include again. So, hated and the haters die means, the hatred dies. Hatred is resolved. Enmity is resolved. Enmity is resolved means what here? Enmity is resolved. Hatred is resolved means the very... what does it mean? Hatred is resolved. Enmity is resolved. When does it resolve? Only when you have the wide understanding, the vision that all that is here is Brahman. Is it clear? So, with this I'll stop the Akash Upasanam. Then we'll continue with the rest of the class. I'll do it on Wednesday. Okay?
One question. You said that ultimately Akasha also resolves in the unmanifest.
Yeah.
Does it mean it resolves in the unmanifest, mean in Maya? Is that correct to say?
There's no Maya that are. Unmanifest power itself is called Maya.
Yeah, that's right.
The Maya is a name. No, unmanifest power is nothing but knowledge being not manifest. There are two different things. Knowledge is manifest means manifest power. Noi unmanifest, unmanifest power. There is no thing called Maya actually.
Because the creative power is Maya, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it is from
the powers, yeah. Manifest are the powers. Yeah. And those powers are unmanifest means only jnanam. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.